Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi everybody, welcome to Red Wings Rant, where tirades and a passion please for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Of course, I'm here, not live. Sometimes I see that question pop up on YouTube, and of course, if you're listening to the podcast right now, I was lucky enough to not post our latest episode, so this will be our new opening to that episode. Of course, the announcement of Derek Lalonde becoming the Red Wings' new head coach. So I thought I'd take some time here. Let's go over some of the details, because I think I got a fair share of messages last night. You may have gotten a fair share of messages last night of, how do you feel about Lalonde? Well, we'll take a quick look here. And I think it starts off with, is this the most exciting signing in the world? And I will say, if you are super stoked, there's reason to be. This guy has quite the track record, which we'll go over in a second. But is this something, I don't know, I'm shopping for a house right now. So you have like your checklist, right? You're looking for things that you absolutely need in the house. But is this the house that has like the sweet hot tub out back? And it just so happens they were fans of bowling. So if you pick this house, you get a bowling alley in the basement. Yes, of course, I'm talking about maybe a house that's way too high over all of our budgets right now. But is this, for me, the house with a bowling alley, a hot tub, and a pool? For me, it's not. But it does cross off a lot of boxes, okay? And when I say it's your right to be excited, I mean, we can talk about our man's track record here. Fair State University, actually taking over for Jeffy Boy. That's right. Took over for Jeff Blashill. If you guys are watching on YouTube, you can actually see this list here. But for the podcast listeners, basically his coaching timeline, 2002 to 2006. University of Denver, 2006 to 2011. And then the Green Bay Gamblers, 2011 to 2014. Keep in mind for the Gamblers and then the Walleye, some pretty great first years. Gamblers go on to win a championship, and the Walleye go from worst to regular season first. So a couple of points of note there in regards to what can this guy do with an organization in his first year. And of course, moving over to the Iowa Wild head coach, 2016 to 2018. We also know that our very own assistant coach, Alex Tungay, coming from there. And then, of course, assistant coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning brought in while Stevie Y was under watch. So this is the second time that Steve Yzerman has been a part of a decision of bringing Derek Lalonde to a coaching staff. So clearly there's something that Steve likes. And we kept asking, what is Steve waiting for? We talked about the other candidates that Steve might have been interested in. It appears, ladies and gentlemen, it might have just been the one and only. Because now, on that coaching timeline for Derek Lalonde, as previously mentioned, starting in 2022, of course, the Detroit Red Wings head coach. Do I hate this signing? Absolutely not. I'm happy. I think this could have gone a lot of worst ways. I think for a sicko who spends way too much time thinking about it. And when I say I would have wanted the house with the hot tub and the bowling alley. And I would make the argument that Derek is not necessarily that. That's where you come in with just like the Gromborgs, right? I mean, we've been talking, and I'll say it, this is probably, I probably use this way too often on the podcast, ad nauseum. We go on and on about how excited we were to try and take a jump across to the SHL to find our new head coach. And clearly we did not. And it just seemed like that was exciting. So am I over the moon with Derek Lalonde? I can confess I am not, but I still think this is a really good hire. And I think that's fair. I think that's okay. I'm fine with the, you know, I could have made the choice to not bring that up at all. No, Derek Lalonde, his statement, we'll jump into that because I think it's important too to kind of dissect that. Derek Lalonde seems like a really nice guy, but he does come through here. I'm thrilled to be named the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings. I'd like to thank Chris, entire Ehrlich family, as well as Steve, trusting me with the opportunity to lead this historic franchise. I'm ready to get to work with our group. It's a very bright future ahead in Detroit. You know, what was he going to say? But I do like to bring out the point here. He's ready to get to work, and we absolutely have to get to work. This is kind of our point going into this week in our last episode, which you guys will hear us, if you're listening to the podcast, you'll actually hear the rest of this right after this this episode or this little recording. For everyone else, you can just slip on over to episode 242. But we talked about, oh my gosh, we need to get this done. We have the draft coming up next week. It does make me wonder if this was sort of what we were waiting for, was the Lightning to get knocked out of the playoffs for our new head coach to be announced. Do discussions happen? Do the Lightning allow that to happen with their old GM to start having discussions on like what the next steps are? As much as we'd sit here and agree that Steve Yzerman is the be-all end-all, I think you still want to speak to your head coach. There's a reason you bring him aboard, and you want to get some of that information. So whether or not you want to believe that they absolutely had not talked about it, or they've talked about it a little bit, a lot of it's got to happen this week. With that being said, you know, I did have one point I already brought up here, but I think bring up another one here, and it really, the long and short of it is what a huge fan I'm turning into of Derek Lalonde real quick. And like I said, bring up the hot tub, the bowling alley house. Maybe it's not that, but it doesn't mean like the house you land with, you hate it. You just maybe missed out on the house with the hot tub and the bowling alley in the basement. But Derek Lalonde, coming from Jordan Strack, a great story. A fan in South Carolina sat behind the Walleye bench, of course, coaching the Toledo Walleye. He had a poster calling him Uncle Fester from the Adams Family after the game. A playoff game, mind you. Lalonde came out, signed the poster, and took pictures. My man, Derek Lalonde, he's not winning any beauty contests. Look, I immediately thought of, I love you, Derek. I hope you never hear this. I immediately thought of the Harry Potter goblins. A lot of people are thinking Gru. Uncle Fester's been bounced around quite a bit. This guy's going to be a meme king in Detroit for a little bit here. This is going to be fun. And I do like that he participates in the fun. This is a guy who's, you see this story, very self-aware, right? So another good thing. So what's next for Detroit? We still have a couple of openings, as Max Boltman put. We got to fill Doug Huda was taking over defenseman and penalty kill, and Jeff Slashko, charge of the goalies. I know we've had a couple of shout outs. Of course, who else would we shout out but Dominic Hasek being in charge of the goalies? But we still got to fill those out. And I do like, if you guys are reading through some of the articles, props to anybody who's remembering to mention this team still needs a lot of upgrades in the roster. So we were never super hard on Jeff. We're not going to be super hard on Derek. You better not be either. Let's focus on the roster. We have our new head coach. I still make the argument, I think a lot of coaches fit right here. I think you have some coaches that will go all the way up here, and there's very few between the very best coach of all time and what most of the coaches are going to fit in. And then you've got your dog crap coaches, like from Chicago and the Blackhawks, that tell their players to come up with their own plays. Those guys are down at the bottom. Very few and far between. I think a lot of coaches fit right here. So right now, all we can think is that Derek is going to fit right here. There's that mean average for coaches. And most of them are going to fit pretty close to the standard deviation of what that average is. So I'm just throwing that out there. I think a lot of the coaches are going to fit pretty close to that average line. So again, when you talk about excitement, you talk about, you know, how thrilled are we going to be? That's kind of where I'm at right now. But of course we got to see so much more. I just ask everyone, take your time, take a deep breath. If they come out struggling, it's not because Derek's making a bunch of wrong decisions. Not only is he getting to know this team, but this team will struggle because of who's on the roster. So we just have to realize that. We have to come at it with some realistic expectations here. So sounds like Derek's a good guy. Sounds like he's going to be fun to make memes off of. And he's excited to get to work. What else can you ask for? All right, you also got the long list here. So it's not like, you know, we can turn around and say he hasn't coached anybody, which can sometimes pop up every now and then. But we do know that Jeff Blashill had a similar resume. So for any of you that are excited to get rid of Jeff and bring in Derek, very similar resume before becoming head coach of the Detroit Red Wings. Did Jeff Blashill have? I don't know why I'm talking like Yoda. But we will see you guys on Tuesday. We'll see you guys on Wednesday night to do our final draft preview. Of course, look back on the old episodes. You guys will see all of our content where we've actually taken a deep dive on individual players and tried to figure out where we want to rank these guys for our number 8 pick. Take a look at that, and we'll see you guys Wednesday night. And congratulations, Derek Lalonde and Red Wings fans who can finally move on and start thinking about only the NHL draft. All right, we'll see you guys. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 242 of Red Wings Rant, where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Today, we're going to talk about Cutter Gauthier. That's right. You've been asking for it. I think somebody asked for it like a month ago. And here we are. Just so happened Moritz Seider decided to win an award. And we cut back on our episode totals per week. And I almost was kind of hoping you weren't going to message today. And you were like, what time today? And I like out loud said, fuck, because my whole family's sick. It's just you send your kids to daycare. I feel like this has been we've had this conversation multiple times on the show. But yeah, the kids go to daycare and they bring diseases home and it's awful. And I'm sick right now. I just want to go to bed, but we've got to talk. We only have till July 8th to talk about these stupid prospects, so we got to get out a stupid episode. Hey, Chewy, what's going on? That makes me feel better.
Chewy.
Doing good, Chewy.
Chewy, Matt, our Red Wings rant needs you now more than ever, so very excited that you're here. Matt, I couldn't be more excited for this episode. We're going to talk about Cutter Gauthier. Mm-hmm. Huh? Listen to that pronunciation. Yeah, I really wanted to say cuter, goothier, but, you know, I put that aside just for you, buddy. Also, how do you like in my room? It looks like I'm moving, but actually my significant other has decided she wants to rearrange her books, and so she removed them from the bookshelf, and now they're all over the floor.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you might notice if you guys are watching on YouTube that my shelves are more bare because I'm preparing to move. So there's some Funko Pops nesting over here. Right now, I just have Pavel and Jimmy Howard and then my Nicholas Lidstrom book, my signed Nicky book left over. I don't know.
You got to pack. You know, it's almost draft day and you're going to be gone. You're going to be going to a new team, Matt. I think we had a few nuggets before we jumped into Cutter. Matt.
Silver says, here's your good.
Gauthier.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I like to think of GOAT right before I say it, because it's possible, Mike, he could be the greatest of all time. I'm just kidding. I just wanted to. But I do think of GOAT. Thinking of GOAT before you say Cutter's last name is a good way to put your mind in the right space. But Silver, I still like this. Go, Chi, A.
Yeah, see, and what I did is I said goach and yay. Mine was like goach, yay!
Now, what's a goach? What do you do? You just memorize goach?
It does seem like it would be in the gonad region, but yeah.
Grabbing your goach?
Yeah.
Wiggling around?
Giving it a big yay. That's what I think we're doing. But yeah, we got a new champion. I thought we would just spend 60 seconds on that. Colorado defeated, destroyed the mighty Goliath down in Florida. Disgusting. Tampa Bay, they're going to break up that band and trade Kucherov over here, right?
Are we calling that destroyed? I feel like we're pretty close to a game seven. Look at that cool picture, though.
Man.
Yeah, it is. I was wondering, Mike, I wanted to ask you when I saw this picture.
Is that from the DVD cover for the season?
Of course. I was going to ask you if the Red Wings, now somebody did point out online on Twitter, every time the Avalanche win the cup, the Red Wings win it the next year. So that'll be fun to see what they come up with next year.
Oh, you old dogs. Yeah.
But I was going to say, Mike, if we had this, do you think?
Yeah.
Because I think there's somebody missing from this, but do you think Steve Yzerman would have made this picture?
Oh, you mean a Red Wing version?
Yeah. So, yeah, for anybody listening to the podcast, we're looking at, as Mike put it, like it looks like the DVD cover for the Colorado Avalanche Stanley Cup season DVD. I don't know if DVDs are still a thing for the kids at home, so it's just like a movie poster.
Just pretend it's the streaming thumbnail. That's what we're. It's kind of like a DVD cover. It's the streaming icon thumbnail for the movie you're about to watch.
I feel like it's got a really big picture of Landy here too, and I think the guy who's in the running for the greatest player in the NHL right now is a pretty tiny picture.
Yeah, interesting and, decision.
Like I said, notably missing, which I think is a huge part for this team, because this has been something where for like the last couple of seasons, you would have attached to this team any high profile free agent, anybody that was looking for their next Stanley Cup, because they did such a great job screwing over Nathan MacKinnon, even though he's not having such a great night, as I saw on Twitter. I'm not going to get into that because I didn't read any of the details. Just looks like everybody's mad at Nathan. Again, I don't know what it is. I'm sleepy and sick. We'll just move on from that. But anyway, they did a great job underpaying Nathan MacKinnon. They've got a Cale Makar who's yet to get paid what he deserves. So, yeah, to that end, it's still built great. Like, you made a lot of good decisions, right? So I would have put Sakic on here. And, Mike, that's where I asked you, do you think Stevie Y would have made it to our poster? I wanted to say ours instead of ours. I made an effort, and I ruined it because now I'm explaining it. Anyway, do you want to answer one of those questions? I don't know. I keep talking. I won't stop.
I feel like...
Can't stop.
If Yzerman had a vote, he would not want his face on this. I think he would prefer to have... maybe the faces of the GMs that he swindled in trades over the years. I think because they have directly impacted the team's roster positively. So
well,
it'd be a fun collage of.
Let's paint a picture. Let's do season one game maybe it was episode one season two Game of Thrones. Along the walls of help me out. What's the castle where the throne is? What's the city?
It is called Dragonland.
The walls are lined with the heads of all of the conquered leaders and kings from around Westeros.
I know we're in Westeros. I can do that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mike, would it be fun to have all of the conquered GMs heads on a pike?
Just like kind of like bordering, maybe not bordering, but like you see like Groovy's head there, like if it was just behind all the players there, like just like a subtle nod, and you just kind of did like as best you could, like a little caricature for each GM that had been screwed over by Stevie Y. Is that, I mean, is there a better way to do it? Because I feel like that's the best way.
I do like that a lot. It does kind of get my
your noodle going.
It does get my my little noodle going. I do like that phrase as well. But again, it's Iserman would definitely defer, and he'd say, no, I don't want to be part of this creative thing. So I think the other thing I would really want is all the receipts. Thank you, Eric Johnson, for King's Landing.
King's Landing.
I want all the Eric receipts.
Eric also throws in there. Hi, guys.
Well, you're not very high, Eric, because you dropped that, and we desperately needed it. Neither of us are under the influence of lettuce. Yeah, maybe all the receipts for all the times that people said Eiserman didn't know what he was doing with his draft picks. I would like that under the walls as well.
Silver 3344. I never noticed my Midwestern accent said ours instead of ours until just now. Thank you for that, Matt. No problem, Silver. I love pointing that out. I make an effort to say soda because I don't want to be. I really don't care if somebody else says pop. It's not like Reese's Pieces, which drives me up a fucking wall. But yeah, I'm a soda boy.
You're a soda boy?
I'm just a soda boy.
Our family drinks pop. Anyway.
Go away.
We actually had some viewership for the Stanley Cup, Matt?
Yeah, we had, where is it? We had an increase of 89... Average 4.6 million viewers, up 89% from last year's Stanley Cup final. The Stanley Cup playoffs across ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, TNT, and TBS averaged 1.4 million viewers, up 39% from last year. So when you take your sport and you put it on real television channels, people can find it. This isn't them reporting like, oh, we broke records. This is just like increases, I think, because it's easier to find this sport. I don't know about you, Mike. I'm forced to watch SportsCenter at work. I have ESPN on in front of my desk.
Yeah.
And isn't that funny? I'll just sidetrack here a little bit. Like, it's normal, right? Like the workspace, everybody has like a TV in front of their desk. Like, I'm not distracted by it all day, but it is kind of funny. Like, that's now the norm. Like, from somewhere, your vantage point, from your desk, and whatever company you work for, there's like a TV that you can see.
It's definitely a shred of normalcy. I think if I was walking around and there wasn't like sports on in the background with some sort of crawler with information I don't really need, I would be a little concerned. I'd be like, these are end times.
But anyway, I was going to say that SportsCenter does now do a good job. I don't even know if it's called SportsCenter. Whatever's on ESPN from, you know, I get to work at like 8 till noon. It's the same thing over and over. But, they would just continuously go over the Stanley Cup Finals. It's kind of nice.
Yeah. It was very weird. I'm not used to seeing that. I'm used to seeing like maybe the box score and then like, you know, LeBron James noticing the score on his phone and going, wow, those boys can ball. You know, there's no ball in this game. Very excited for the NHL to actually be in front of eyeballs. Bagel versus Boggle. I don't know, Silver. I think we're going Bagel on that one. I'm doing a AY.
Yeah.
I'm a hard A on that one.
Eric.
No, the other thing. Just
Eric humbling us here a little bit. He says, "I work on roofs. There's no TV up here."
There can be, Eric, if you bring a TV.
Yeah, that's
going to get great reception up there, my man.
You got to check in with your leader, which would be yourself, Eric, and see if you allow yourself to bring a TV. That is actually another nice thing. Even if you're sick, you're watching ESPN, you just whip out the old phone, which brings up, Mike, did we talk about this in the last episode?
We did gloss over it.
So I did it. I cut the cord last week after we finished recording, Mike. So we did talk about it last week, but it's official. Matt is going all in on Bally Sports Plus. They tried to keep me. Now, Mike, this is why I brought this up. because I thought you'd like this. I wanted to bring it up with our, we have a mutual friend as well. I thought he would get a laugh out of this. So I'll just tell him later.
Yeah.
Call Comcast or, you know, canceling my Xfinity cable. She's telling me all the reasons I should keep it. Do you watch local news? No. Do you watch this? No. Do you watch that? No. And she's like going through her list, like, and she's reading these notes of just like, I want to make sure that I'm not, you know, you're not missing something and you have to call us later and get it back. So I'm doing the best I can just for you. And I'm like, that's great. I'm pretty solid on not doing this. And she's like, well, let's see. You don't sound like a guy who'd care about local sports. And I went, what? And she just went, you don't sound like, do you like local sports? And I was like, that's the only thing I've been watching on Xfinity. So yeah. I didn't know. I know. I don't, you know, I don't come in with one of these, but
yeah,
I didn't think I came off as the, surely you've never watched a baseball game in your life.
Yeah.
Kind of voice. But apparently I do. I was tickled by it, but at that point it was easy for me to say enough's enough.
After that insult, after that insult to your manhood, you said, that's it, I'm done. So
now,
what's the cost here?
For anybody, so Bally Sports Plus for the whole year is $200.
That's like what I spend a month on Xfinity.
Yes. I cut $120 off of my Xfinity bill by just going internet. So anybody considering it, I'm all for it. I think it's going to be great for my bank account. Yeah, go for it.
What are you going to do for premium games that are on like TNT or TBS? Will you just not be watching?
I will be watching those on Hulu. I experimented and I watched the Stanley Cup Finals on Hulu.
Are you paying for, so you're paying for Hulu Live?
Oh, no, I'm not. I just have Hulu. I have Hulu, oh. Disney Plus, ESPN Plus. I could also watch it on ESPN Plus.
Like games on TNT?
I couldn't say for TNT, but I have watched TNT games on Hulu. So those are my answers to those.
Well, that's certainly enough answer for me. I guess I have an Xfinity phone call in my future. That's that's all I cared about. If I have Hulu and Bally and I save, 60 to 80 bucks a month, well, I'm going to be a rich man and going to be buying a boat. Woo!
$1 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still hit the ice for cold hard cash. New customers can make their first deposit and play free for thousands with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. Draft your lineup for 8 skaters and a goalie and rack up points for goals, assists, saves, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NHL team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. 21 and over. Restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Can't wait.
All right, so let's talk about Cutter, Mike.
Yeah.
We'll bring him back up here.
Matt, this is a position in need here. He's a legit centerman, allegedly, at 6'3". He does play a lot of left wing, though, but please, God, have him negotiate with his agent to make sure he's always listed as a center.
Yeah, we just want him listed as a center so we feel more comfortable filling out our Jay Fresh rosters at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. When I saw him play, I you know, the highlights, it doesn't really focus on him being a center. He was just kind of creeping up the wing a lot and just letting rip that big power shot. So, yeah, very excited to talk about this guy, especially because his comparisons, man, were Hurdle the Turtle, a guy I was very excited about before the trade deadline. And then, obviously, the Red Wings did not acquire him. So this could be our little Leopold Stotch Butters from South Park void filler for Tomas Hertl. Very excited to talk Cutter today.
Yeah, I saw. So he's been getting some comparisons to Pacioretty, which feels pretty good. Now, this is Elite Prospects finally came out, and we talked about this last week. They came out with their full rundown for each player. It's like multiple pages when you're going through the top 30. And then, I think the total number of pages for this is like 500 pages, something like that, from Elite Prospects, which is just insane. And it was properly described as the go-to source for NHL sickos like us, people who have a podcast once a week, Mike, and talk to their, you know, what do we have, 10 to 12 buddies who join us every week. Chewy, Eric, Silver, you guys are our boys right now.
Performance Art and his real name, whatever that was. Johnny, I remember now. Johnny P. Go ahead. Sorry. I didn't want to forget.
So we're talking, did we go through the 6'3", 201 pounds? We've got a grade of A, just overall for Cutter. That doesn't hurt. But I like these. They rank these guys, and we've gone through one of their top scouts, Mike. We're a huge fan. Is it Saint Antoine? What was his name?
Saint Jean Carl Condlia.
Let's hem and haw, and we'll figure out.
I think that's a Norm MacDonald bit where he just made up a French guy. Rest in peace, Norm.
Let's do this. Mike, read through those stats. Well, I want to give this guy an actual name. This is ridiculous. We should be able to give this guy a name.
Well, I don't know if we have stats up, but we just had, you know, where Elite Prospects was scoring ranking a few him. Of, yeah, well, the ranks for the whole draft, they're saying for best motor, number 5 in the whole draft. My God. For best shot, Matt, there's only 3 guys ahead of him. He's at number 4. As far as Matt, give me all the, not just the, you know, dipsy doodling forwards. I don't want any dipsy doodlers on my team. Give me a power forward. No, not the top 3. I want the top 2. Then you'd be like, I got a guy for you. Cutter Gauthier.
There you go. I heard that hesitation.
You gotta ease in. You can't just jump in the pool. It might be cold. So, yeah. I mean, that's Elite Hockey Prospects. I think we kind of trust them. My only beef is, Matt, what is the scale for the skating, shooting, passing, puck handling, hockey sets, and physical? I hope it's not out of 10, because there's a lot of 5s.
I think it's out of 7. I'm scrolling here, so it's David, the name we were looking for, the
Jacques Delamillier.
David Saint-Louis.
Saint-Louis.
Yes. All right. Can you guys hear my mouse scrolling?
Oh yeah, it's very loud. Yeah.
It's very annoying.
Yeah.
I think we're scoring these. Let's say 8. And here's my reasoning. You ready? Shane Wright has a 7.5 for Hockey Sense. So I'm just gonna say the top score he could have gotten was an 8, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah. Well, why don't you look that up? And I'm just going to drop a quote from one of Cutter's coaches here in the under 18 league. We gave Gauthier 3 things to be a power forward. Ask yourself every game, am I moving my feet? Am I playing physical? And am I getting to the inside? Now, Cutter, narrow the focus on those 3 things. When you watch him now, I think he nails those 3 things. Matt, I didn't know that we treated these guys like actual kids, because that was pretty condescending coaching advice. But, yeah. You know, sometimes it's that kind of advice that gets you ranked as the number 2 power forward in the whole draft. So it must have worked.
All right, so let's talk about power forward. Let's talk about he's coming in with what did we say? Did we say 4th best shot?
They're ranking him as the 4th best shot. Yeah.
Let's watch this.
We've got our boy. What is this, pro hockey prospect? Yeah. Man, I'm really feeling how sick I am right now. All right, let's just talk about feelings, right? Because we said if he's actually going to roll in as a center, okay, cool, that works. If we talk about...
Oh, there's a free ad.
Yay! Do you guys need a rowing machine? This is such a mess right now. All right. Well, the other thing I wanted to bring up was our forwards, and we're talking about a power forward was the question I was asking you. And Mike, we've got obviously Rasmussen at 6'6". We've got a Soderblom who is incoming at 6'8". Cutter, 6'3".
Rolling through
the heights here. He is comparable right now with who's on the roster as the season ended with Sundqvist. Like I mentioned, the 6'6". Rasmussen, and I believe that'd be it from the forward perspective. I mean, if we're getting a guy that we're calling, you know, a great shot, can skate pretty well, can create pretty well, I'd say this fills maybe not just the word need, but I think there's always a want, right, to get this kind of size. And what he's getting comparisons to Hurdle and Pacioretty, and we've already talked about. I mean, I think we talked in Asium about picking up Hurdle while the season was still rolling, and we were trying to peg who is our free agent of choice. And of course, he's not an option. But you kind of could cross off some boxes here. Like the timeline isn't exactly perfect, but if you're looking for that type of player and you're playing this game, will he be? You know, are we still looking for a 1C? Are we just looking to fill out a center in the top six? This is a guy who at least points you in that right direction. And if things don't work out and you get a winger, you get a guy with a hell of a shot and has a lot of size. And as much as the Detroit Red Wings Twitter account would have you believe that Michael Rasmussen made leaps and bounds this season, I don't think he leapt and bounded enough for me to see a top six forward. So that being said, I know we're still talking about Rasmussen being a center. He also played very well as a winger this year. So I guess the point I'm making is that there's still plenty of room for a 6'3" guy with the second best shot in the draft this year. So I think there's two ways to answer this question, Mike, as we're watching Cutter kind of rip up
some high schoolers.
Well, at least this is international play. Ripping a good one there from who was that? Was that Cooley that was passing that?
Yeah, that's what's so hard about watching these highlights too. He's playing with some superstars, like the guys who are ranked above him. You know, in the draft this year. So you don't really know if you're, you know, watching an A-plus guy or a guy who's really good at being on the coattails. So it's just kind of like, can you see a path where the Red Wings draft this guy? And I could definitely see where he would endear himself to Red Wing fans because there's a lot of them who still want, you know, that gritty guy with a little bit of beef on him. And this is we looked at a lot of these prospects and there's a lot of skin and bones out there this year. A lot of guys with, you know, the 18-year-old bodies. But this is one of the few guys that has a little bit of size. So I think it's going to be easy for him to, you know, look appealing in that way. I don't know if he quite has that unicorn size that Yzerman has so fetishized in his last couple of Red Wing drafts. And Lightning drafts. There's some very tall people on that team. I don't know if I see it with Cutter because I think we've talked about it a few times on this show. Like, do you want a guy who's going to be ready in 1 to 2 years, you know, to play in the NHL? Or, you know, are you maybe going to prioritize, you know, a guy who's maybe has a lower floor, but maybe has the highest ceiling? So maybe they come into this game with like a, you know, their game has like an incredible shot or, you know, they're a real speedster, like the, you know, the best skater in the draft. I mean, I guess you could see, you know, a few people ranked him higher than others. I saw one spot, I think he's ranked as high as number 3. But I mean, I've seen him, you know, bottom out at like 14. Some had him in the 20s. Who did we have? Forgive me, man. Who did we talk about last week? Because their competition was men.
Well, last week we talked about cider.
Oh, two episodes ago.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
It was. Well,
we've talked about Maddie Savoy. We've talked about Frank Nazar.
Lekaramaki. Was the one who played against men. So I just, you know, it feels like a stronger barometer when you're watching the tape to be like, okay, he's playing against people who are, you know, adults with babies, playing for jobs, you know, and here he's playing against, you know, 17 and 18 year olds and they're, you know, empty stadiums for the most part. So I don't know what kind of, you know, pressure you're really under in those kind of games. Besides, you know, you got 20 scouts, you know, just watching with pencils and paper. So I, you know, he would probably be a fine product, you know, prospect in the system. I know that we kind of whined in the past couple drafts, you know, what kind of forward size are we acquiring? But it's doesn't look like we had a real issue with Lucas Raymond. He's doing pretty well for himself. He's not that large. So I could kind of see a path with Cutter. I wouldn't put my, you know, he's not in my top four. Just because I don't know if he really brings that, you know, one elite skill that he has, that mega ceiling, that I'm pursuing, you know, at that spot in the draft where you're starting to get away from the sure things, you know, like a Shane Wright, and you're picking the warts, and which warts do you want to be, you know, willing to work with coaching style or coaching wise. Cutter, he's 6'3". He's got a shot. I don't know if he's actually going to be a center. I think he's just bigger than a lot of the other 18-year-olds, so they let him take faceoffs. That was kind of what I picked up. So I don't want to hate him. You know, he might be the best in the whole draft. You know, what do we know? We're watching 18-year-old kids on grainy footage, many times without multiple angles for the camera. One stationary camera at center ice that just kind of pans left and right like an oscillating fan. But you know, so what if he played on an all-star team of Americans? You know, maybe he is going to turn into something, but for my money, not who I would pick.
What I wanted to ask you too, like, I didn't actually get this question out, but would you be upset if he got picked? Was kind of where I feel like we come at these, and then like next week, I figure we'll give our like, who do we actually want to take? But would I be upset if we took a Cutter? I think I could see enough here that I would trust that it fits the Iser plan and that there's a couple different ways that you could find success with Cutter. And maybe we don't see enough of the elite shot here. But I think there's enough going around from, I don't know, at least elite prospect scouts that we could say there is a significantly better shot. There's, as they put it, a high motor on this guy too. So I would say I wouldn't be upset by it, but I hear you on the point of, is that the guy you'd go for? Cause you were talking about high ceilings. You would find Cutter on this list, as I went through like elite prospects and all their rankings, you'd find Cutter on there. But he was number five on just one guy's list, consistently on the top of everyone's list, Frank Nazar, above Shane Wright, believe it or not. Yeah. But ultimately, that's where I'd land, right? I'm landing in the spot of you have Steve Yzerman go up to the podium. I don't know how they're doing it this year in Montreal, but Steve Yzerman goes up to the podium. They say Cutter. Me, angry, nah. Maybe a little bummed if, like I mentioned, Nazar a second ago. Maybe. But they're also, I think there's one quick conversation we could have, Mike. We have, let's see, how do I want to pull this up here? Bob McKenzie. We've talked about it since we started discussing the NHL draft. Bob McKenzie's list. That's it. That's what happens. That's how these guys get drafted. For some reason, that's the truth. But let me finish.
Yeah.
Bob McKenzie, week before the draft, Juraj Slefkovský, number one on his list. Shane Wright, number two. Mike?
Dropping bombs.
You trade up? Get Shane at number two?
I mean, what are we doing here? How else are we going to get a top center?
I'm going to say you've got a center that could probably be ready to go this year.
What are we doing this for? We're trying to get a top center. If the trade's on the table and I'm, you know, not having to pull my pants down and give up, you know, Edvinson. Yeah, I'm making that move.
All right. I totally agree. And I would even listen to a conversation about Edvinson.
Depends on
the trade, but I'm not necessarily looking at Edvinson right now and saying that's Moritz Seider 2.0. I think we have enough there that we could be excited about it. But I would just say if we're talking about picking up Shane Wright, and that's, I don't know. I feel like that's a really important conversation. It depends on what Steve sees. If Steve makes the move, I'm 100% on board. I think we are all still drinking that Steve Kool-Aid, but if I'm making a list, Mike, would you trade Lucas Raymond? Would he be a part of that trade? Because I'm not putting Moritz Seider on there. Seider, we're good. We're done.
Moritz Seider, no, Red Wing for life. No, because the whole point of this is to get NHL players, and I don't think that we can do a guy who's already proven he can be in the NHL. We don't know if Shane Wright can, but we know Lucas can.
Okay. I think that's legit. That's a good argument. I guess.
But I do want to bring this back to Cutter though, because I don't want to go too far into the maybes. Let me pose this to you. So Cutter, you know, I've definitely just given him a lot of grief as a guy who I don't feel has a huge ceiling. But of the guys we've talked about, I feel weirdly confident that he would definitely have a job in the NHL.
Cutter is number five on that same list we were just talking about. So he's only a few spaces behind Shane Wright and on that same Bob McKenzie list. But go ahead.
No, I just feel pretty confident that this guy can find a job in the NHL. Maybe a third or fourth line winger center with a shot. You know, he's got a little size. Mm-hmm. You know, he's really good at focusing on three things and then, becoming a top power forward in the draft, at least. And I would honestly, it's weird that of a lot of the guys we talked about, I'm going to pick on my buddy Lambert, Brad Lambert, you know, the guy with the best skating in the draft. I think he's got a really high ceiling, but if he never panned out and never really became a scorer, I also would not be surprised. So it's weird that I would still, of those two, roll the dice on Lambert rather than take Cutter. Just because of the prospect of what he could be.
Well, Silver's got Soderblom, the eighth pick, a second round and a fifth round to move up.
Silver, I don't know how you trade a Hall of Famer like Elmer Soderblom. So I got to say he's off the table. Absolutely not trading him. Anybody else, you can't talk me into trading Soderblom. I've waited too long watching these prospect lists and highlight videos. I want to see this unicorn in real life.
Dan B throws out there, make sure you don't draft size alone. Rasmussen is huge, but plays small. Always take most talent over position. Dan, does the high rankings for the motor that we talked about on Elite Prospects, does that change anything for you? Keep in mind that
we have not criticized him for his skating. It's not elite, but it's not, you know, Rasmussen bad.
Right, and when Rasmussen was picked up, like, he seems to have lived and brought to the table everything that scouting reports said, don't draft Rasmussen for these reasons, and then they kind of came to fruition. I did want to point out, too, Eric pointed out a while back, Nazar was the center on Gauthier's line. He does also throw it. I could be wrong, though. But I think we did see on some of those highlights that Nazar was involved in there.
That's part of the problem too, right? Because that's how they can all say that they're all centers and wings, because they all kind of interchange with each other. So it's really a tough job for Yzerman trying to pick one of these guys.
Real quick, Curtis wants to know. He was tweeting at us. He left family dinner to ask, has Derek Lalonde been hired yet? I am adamant he will be hired tomorrow morning after this episode goes live for the podcast. But Silver does say he comes back to that trade. For a who says no, Mike says no, Silver.
I'm not trading the Hall of Famer. No, sorry, Silver.
And Eric throws in there too. Jersey might be looking for a D-man. I think that is very true. And I think that's where maybe that conversation starts. Now, Mike, another interesting little nugget here. Lekkerimäki on McKenzie's list falls at number 8. Of course, that would mean if nothing changes, guess what happens? We get Lekkerimäki. And Mike, number 16 on this list.
Uh-oh. Brad?
Your boy, Brad.
My boy?
Damn. Yeah. So, would you trade back, or maybe we play trade up, but just to the middle of the draft, which, of course, would be a much easier pick to land. Red Wings play the same game 2 years in a row, walk away with 2 first-round picks. Also, I do want to point out Frank Nazar, number 15 on the list.
Oh, Lambert, no.
16. So, you could really play a fun game there if it goes that route.
Yeah.
Connor Geeky, number 13. I think we walked away not too thrilled with Connor Geeky, but we just mentioned not a second ago, Frank Nazar rated to have the highest ceiling from elite prospects. So a lot to like there.
I'd be willing to see what happens there. Can we just a quick little pivot to Derek Lalonde?
Chewy's got it. Do it like the Pistons.
Oh, Chewy.
God damn, was that a fun draft?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of cool. Lions scored, ranked really well, but the Pistons, whoo-hoo-wee! I was giggling my buns off when Sacramento butchered another first-round pick by letting arguably the best athlete in the draft fall to our beloved Pistons. But that's another podcast, if I could talk Matt into it, or do a Piston podcast. Matt, for Derek Lalonde, this is not what I wanted. I didn't want just an assistant from the Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm sorry. I wanted my guy from Europe.
Well, it appears that every article about the Detroit Red Wings right now that's been coming out for, news and Freep and MLive and
your
little hockey and blogs.
That's why we had this weird void. What is Yzerman interviewing anybody? How come we don't have a coach yet?
Well,
he's waiting for him to lose the Stanley Cup Finals. That's what he wants, a loser.
But we said there'd be a coach before the NHL draft, so it's got to happen soon. And like I said, watch out for it. This is 9 o'clock on June 28th. It will be happening June 29th. The Red Wings will announce their new stupid coach. Coming back to Dan B, I asked him earlier how he feels about the compete level that, oh my gosh, I got to tell you, I got to hit the timeout button here for a second. I told you my whole family's sick. I am getting chills and aches like you wouldn't believe. And I'm such a dumb shit because I'm standing to record this episode.
Man, I'm starting to feel that too. Just thinking about that Lalonde news tomorrow. I'm getting really nauseous.
I'm going to throw up. All right. I'm sorry, Dan. We asked you the question about about the hard work.
Oh, the compete.
The compete. Yeah, I'm going to throw up.
Don't do it, Matt. Stay in there.
But Dan,
just swallow it.
Since we asked him, I wanted to read his answer. I'll always give the advantage to guys who play hard every shift, like Bertuzzi's compete level. Dan, I am not making a joke about throwing up on your answer. I think I'm going to throw up here in a minute.
Well, you make sounds like that. That's like a pre-vomit, man. Jesus.
All right. It's like 60 degrees down in my basement, which is where I record, and I am sweating my balls off right now. This is one of the oh my god. Whew. Okay, let's keep going. Silver does throw out there, let's trade back. We still got to think about depth. Silver, that is a great point. I think that's that's kind of like once I saw the Bob McKenzie list and I saw a couple of our favorite guys who have those high ceilings, like Mike was talking about, are falling to the middle of the pack. It's not anything where I think if we look at our GM, like he's not going to take those phone calls. He's not already planning on making calls himself. But I just think we focused a lot on the eighth pick and it might be worth it, Mike. Maybe we drop back and we go back to back and get Nazar and Brad Lambert. Maybe that's an option. So we could walk away and just kind of load the deck, right? Like we've talked about how weak we are center wise. We just keep having all of these question marks and you kind of shrug your shoulders like, I don't know, maybe they could be good. And we don't have sure things. Now you're going back. You're moving back in the draft. Then we're not playing this game of like losing any of our top prospects. But if you're moving up in the draft, that's where, you know, I mentioned Lucas Raymond and you went, absolutely not. But I think that's when you call, those are the things that the, you know, I guess if we're talking the Devils, they are going to be leaning closer towards Edmondson. But the questions get easier to answer. Like, what are you willing to give up to, you know, go to the middle of the draft as opposed to, or middle of the first round? Mike, it looks like you're going to throw up now. You have your hand over your mouth.
No, I was just, because moving back is always really sexy, but you got to like find trade partners to do it. You could maybe look at like Winnipeg. They have like 14, but they also have, you know, all the way down to like number 30. I don't know how attractive that is for people. Or the Sabres have 16 and 28. I don't know if they're really in a spot where they want to, you know, draft number 8 and number 9. Maybe they do. That's the calls you'd be making. You'd be getting 16 and 28. You'd be getting, you know, 14 and 30, or the Ducks at 10 and 22, but it kind of feels like they purposefully, you know, that was part of that Lindholm trade, to get the extra pick. I don't know if they want to necessarily, hey, speaking of 10 and 22, how about we just get marginally better at number 8 and give away a bonus first rounder? So I don't know if the Ducks really want to be a part of that. I think what you would have to do is trade into the first round, not trade back. So that means you have to give up a second rounder and probably an NHL player. Joe Valeno, sorry.
Chewy thrown out there. It's probably the Hawaiian shirt, which is making me lose my lunch. Eric, what's funny is he also threw in must be the shirt.
I think it's Lalonde. I think it's that Lalonde news is taking Matt down.
Roaring Fork, Mike, who says no on Roaring Fork, Fork's proposal here? Who says no? Bert, Johansson, Booyam to New Jersey for the number 2.
Yzerman.
Really? All right.
For Shane Wright? I mean, an NHL guy and 2 top prospects for a guy who hasn't played in the NHL yet? Yeah, I think Yzerman says no.
All right. I'm wondering if Bert is long for this Red Wings world.
We'd want a little more. We'd need an NHL player. That's too much.
All right. I might have said New Jersey said no. You don't really know what you're getting with Johansson, Booyam. Bert, you know what you're getting. But I also come back to, like, is that the difference maker for New Jersey? And they also are going to have to pay him, too. Like, obviously, Steve Yzerman has zero interest in paying Bert for what he brings to the NHL.
Can you pull that trade offer back up real quick?
Yeah.
Because I think Yzerman says no. But Roaring Fork, what would you say to that trade? Who says no? I kind of want to know. Well,
he proposed it. That's hard to say because
I thought he was just trying to propose a fair offer. What he saw was fair. So is he saying that he would say yes to that as the Red Wings?
I don't know. I will say from Roaring Fork's perspective, I think he can answer that question, but it's hard to say when it's your trade proposal because you know that's the fair deal to Roaring Fork.
Not in this draft. I think because it feels like the consensus is that Shane Wright is not, you know, like Connor McDavid. He's very good, but this isn't a Connor McDavid draft. For a Connor McDavid draft, I would absolutely visit that. But for Shane Wright, he hasn't quite
Roaring Fork is actually bringing up a good point. You save an asset, actually, in doing that trade as opposed to giving up the number 8 pick, because you get to you hold on to that draft pick, and now maybe you're picking up Lekaramaki, right?
My apologies. For some reason, I just assumed our draft pick would be included. If we're not including that top 8 pick, then yeah, I'd do that trade.
Oh, cool. All right.
I'm sorry.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. I apologize. We're all on board. I liked it. Mike's on board. All right. Eric does say he thinks New Jersey says no.
See, that's tough because New Jersey, a lot of their prospects are starting to get there. So maybe they do want some NHL ready guys. And Johnny P, there's my buddy, performance art.
When the hell are we getting a coach?
Well, probably the next 12 hours or so.
The second we stop recording. And then Johnny P says, Matt looks like an episode of Blow.
Matt looks like Butcher from The Boys.
Yeah, that's what I've been
hope he doesn't
for.
Start dropping C-bombs on us.
You don't like that? All right. There's a lot of new TV. You know, like Stranger Things is out there. We just had Obi-Wan.
Miss Marvel. Big fan.
It is pretty cute. The Boys is the best TV show. It's the best show on streaming networks. It's the best show available. I shouldn't even put an asterisk of streaming networks. The Boys is consistently turning in, like, I just giggle the whole time. What was it? It was the Herogasm episode just came out where there's just a bunch of heroes and there's that one guy with the super huge thing that was like tickling everybody's ear, which I thought was hilarious. I could not stop laughing.
That show I will put up there with like Better Call Saul for like appointment viewing when the new ones come out. I can't wait to watch it because like the violence is so well done. The comedy is really like, you know, knee slapping funny, but the writing is so strong where it feels like there's actual weight to the drama. Like I'm going to say that show might have the best villain in TV history. And I feel even including, you know, like if we do like a Breaking Bad again, including Gus Fring, he's a better villain. I would say Homelander is a better villain.
Girl who blows up heads, Boys. Victoria Newman. Oh man, wait, is that her? Maybe that's not her. Was none other.
She's the one who's supposed to look like that state rep, AOC, in New York.
Maybe that's why I have a huge crush on her.
Yeah, that's why she was cast. She's supposed to be the stand-in for that, like the progressive.
So the actress's name is Claudia Dumit. I have the biggest crush in the world right now on her. Oh, my gosh. Whew, I love watching The Boys.
Really good
where
show.
Were we?
Better not show your kids. So. Yeah, a lot of R-rated stuff in there.
It's for adults. All right. Yeah. Oh no! Spoiler alert! Come on. Whoops! Which spoiler did we talk about?
Repeat it. You gave away. You gave away part of the new episode.
Wait, what did I say? Oh right. Well, you know what? Technically, it's a recreation from the comic book, so. It's already out. The spoiler's out there. They just, you know.
You know what, Johnny P? He does this to me all the time. And I'm glad that now we have it on tape. It was you the whole time. Yes. Your Honor, it was Matt. We got him.
Oh, I did want to point out, where was it? Dan B. Without number 8, no way New Jersey makes that deal. I'm on board. I will take that trade, no problem, from a Red Wings fan perspective. But I agree with Dan. That's what I was saying earlier. I thought New Jersey would say no to that. Justin thrown out there, Philip Sedina, Shy to LA for Alex Turcotte and the 2023 third round draft pick. Shy Booyum is from San Diego, California, which I will point out it's actually a lot further I mean, it's closer to L.A. than Detroit is, but that's a bit of a drive, isn't it? It's like a 2-hour drive.
Wait, from where?
San Diego to L.A.
Yeah, you can do that in a couple hours. It's not too bad.
All right, Mike. Who says no?
Whoever is acquiring Zadina. Yeah, I know it's a low risk move. And I think we would have to throw in the draft pick. So it'd be a third rounder, Zadina and Shea. Is it Bouillon for Turcotte?
Shy.
Yeah.
All right. Matt's gonna go throw up. We just went 20 extra minutes. I'm sorry for everybody that just joined, but I'm gonna die. I'm literally sweating my balls off right now, even though it's 60 degrees in my basement. My whole family's sick. Final thoughts, Cutter, if he gets drafted, I'll be fine with it, but I'm still a Frank Nazar fan. And I tell you guys what, next week when we do our last episode before the draft, right? That would be our last episode before the draft. We will go through highest ceilings, highest floors, and we'll kind of rank which guys we want. We're going to rank them, you know, based on our own list. We've kind of teased the list a couple of times, but we think that we've pointed out all the guys that are legit possibilities for the Red Wings in our last, month and a half here. So we're going to go through that list and anybody we've missed, and then maybe we'll look at round number two. So, that'll be our draft preview, and we'll be coming at you guys. What do you think, Mike? Is we go back on the Wednesday schedule, or?
Yeah, we can do that next week. That shouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
All right, July 6th. We'll see you guys for a draft preview, and then you know what? We'll have to be back around on social media because it's the NHL draft. Oh, and of course, I'll do a surprise episode if
Lalonde.
Yeah, once we sign our new coach.
No.
Right, because we would have Gronborg would already be a Red Wing.
I know. I was just my dream was that they were just going to interview him, be like, "Okay, we were wrong. Let's go to Sweden." But no.
Well, yeah, did you see Barry Trotz was just like, "You know what? Yeah, I'm good." He's just like even his hometown Winnipeg had kind of been acting like, all right, Barry's coming home. And Barry was just like, nah, I think he didn't actually retire, but he's done for now. So he's still available for good teams, but not for the Jets, not for the Red Wings. All right, wonderful. We'll keep an eye out, and everybody, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Toodles.